This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 13, where we left off last time. James, chapter 1, verse 13. James' name in the Hebrew means Jacob. And Jacob was the father of the 12 patriarchs of Israel, and the 12 patriarchs became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now the tribes had a split, but they still exist, and they were scattered. Two of the tribes now, for the most part, are back in the land of Israel. That's called the house of Judah. That's Benjamin and Judah. But the other 10 tribes, the house of Israel, after being captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, settled Europe, Canada, and these United States of America. And nobody knows who we are, but you just heard it there. And so, therefore, James wrote this letter to the tribes scattered, and it is such a prophecy of all the things going on right now. I know it'll bless you. James was Jesus' half-brother, and this was at about 45 A.D. Last week, James started out by saying a strange thing. He said to you, these are the tribes scattered. So this is not just any old body in the world who's a rank sinner and lost. To the elect, the tribes are the elect. You who have purpose, you who are elect, you're dedicated and called. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or troubles. Many troubles come upon you. He said to count it all joy. Jesus said it better. He said to be of good cheer. And then he said, do you like wisdom to handle your trouble? I'm entitling this whole first chapter, how to overcome your troubles which seem to be overcoming you. Is that a good title? Okay, so last week he said, you need wisdom in handling that trouble. Is it money? Is it relationship? Is it health? What is it? And he said, go to the Word of God, the Bible, and you will find the answer to your problem. And he said, find that there. And he said, now don't waver from that. If it's money, find what he says about money, do it, and that's your answer. If it's relationships, find out what he says there and do it. If it's sickness, find out what he says about that. Do it. Don't waver. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you say, yes, I believe that, but hello, could you give me some more information there? No, he said you get nothing from the Lord. In other words, you have to stick with it. Stick it with it. Stick it with it. Stick it with it, okay? And that's what he said. And then he said to let patience have her perfect work. We left off with verse 12. He said, endure the trouble, the tribulation there, and temptation means trouble. Endure the trouble because it's a test. This is just a test, and you'll receive a crown of glory. Joseph of the coat of many colors in Genesis had all of these gifts and callings of God, was going to be used as a type of savior to save God's people. But it says, and the word tried him. Any elect who's really given his life to God and is called and chosen. When you study the Word of God will test you. See, some of you think you just go to church and hear the Word and that's the end of that. No, the Word will test you. So now we begin with James 1, verse 13.
13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I was tempted of God.
In other words, the tempted here does not mean sin. This temptation is called your troubles. This would be those of you who have a deep trouble because you're serving God. See, you're on Satan's hit list if you're an elect there. And he said, don't say that God did that to you. How many times we've heard Christians say, oh, God, put that cancer on her to teach her a lesson. I've gotten pages in the mail from people. They've been a recipient of my kindness and my help and everything. And they would say, God put that on you because you're an evil person. and I mean, this, people have this so misunderstood. God said, no, don't say I did that. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 33, God says, do not say God put that burden on you. God didn't bring that sickness. He didn't take your money. And he messed up that relationship. Now, we live in a fallen world. When those things happen, you might have done it to yourself, or Satan might have done it. It might just be because you're here in this fallen world. But do not say that God did it. Now, the curse that God has is for those who are lost on obeying him. But this letter is to the tribe scattered, to the elect. So the elect do as much as they can try to obey him.
But God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he any man. Verse 14. But everyone is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust.
Okay, let me kind of clarify this. James is talking about the trouble that you're suffering because you serve God. You're on the front line in battle, and Antichrist is trying to lower to even the playing field and get you out of promotion. So he's affecting your body or someone you love or your finances or anything. What he says here, he told you not to waver. He said, go to wisdom, go to the Bible, and see what the Bible says about your problem. Your answer's in there. Yes, it is. And not to waver. Don't say the Bible plus this. Just the Bible is sufficient. God's word is sufficient. That you can handle it. And he said, but when you see it in the Bible, and then you go to the phone, and you call everybody in town, telling them that, and saying, what would you do? What would you do about this relationship? Should I go back to my wife? Should I go back to my spouse? Should I have this operation? Should I get another job? What should I do? Wait a minute. He said, then you're drawn off. You're drawn away from the word and think not that man will have anything from the Lord. You say, that is hard. Yes, life's hard. So let's just roll up our sleeves and do the best we can here, okay?
Christ. 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin bringeth decay, therefore death.
All right, the wages of sin is death. What he's saying here is that if you as an elect, you've gone to wisdom, you've asked for wisdom, and he upbraids you not, gives you liberally, and you see the answer, but you are drawn away to find other ways rather than God's ways, because after all, that's just the Bible. That was just your grandmother. That's just that person over there. I mean, after all, the world doesn't do this. Then it becomes sin. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And then sin leads to decay, and decay leads to death. Wow.
16. Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Don't go there. Stay with the word of God. Trust him. The little song I sang while I go, trust and obey. His word is truth. Just believe it.
17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor a shadow of turning.
So he says, God did not bring that sickness on you or cause you to lose your money or break up that relationship. God says, I'm good. Jesus says, you, Christian, are the light of the world. Well, God is our Father, so he's the Father of lights. You can just see him opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a crystal goblet. And I see it many times when I pray for people that come on the bench, and I'll see that goblet just pouring out these golden and silver blessings coming down on people. This is the kind of God we have. This is the kind of God we have, not that other kind. And he said, you're ruining my reputation when you say I did that. I didn't do that. You know the book of Job? Remember the book of Job? Everybody blamed Job and said, you sinned, Job. And that's why all these things, he had boils all over him. When I teach that book, I have my class say, I would ask them, who put the boils on Job? And they respond, Satan put the boils on Job. Again, who put the boils on Job? Satan put the boils on Job. Again, who put the boils on Job? Satan put the boils on Job. I got my brave, beautiful band. We got Libby and Max and Scott here. Thank you very much. But that's a good way to remember that. So God says, no, I'm pouring you out blessings. And he says, I give gifts. Now, while you're in that valley of the shadow, remember, it's just a shadow. So, see, Angela, you can say, shoo, shadow, shoo. Shadow has no power. It's just sitting there staring you to death. Well, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Shoo, shadow, shoo. While you're there, he gives you gifts to overcome this trouble you're in, be it physical, be it financial, be it emotional, relationship, whatever the trouble is in the world. And he gives you gifts. There are the 9 gifts of Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, discernment of spirits, prophecy, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Do you know that sometimes when I'm praying and praying for someone else, the Holy Spirit will start singing his language through me? And I'm telling you, that will break Satan's power. I've seen him take that language and just jackhammer a hard heart. I have watched this right in this place. So see, you may not be using the gifts. You just sitting there going to church and putting your Bible on the shelf and not seeking any gifts. He gave you those gifts as your weapons. And then there's prayer. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26, he will intercede for you with groanings, which can't be uttered. You know what kind of praying that is? It's not crazy. It's a warrior cry. Yeah. Well, you refuse to be defeated. Get up and fight. And of course, there's prayer in the Word of God. So God says, you don't even realize you've got all this weaponry. And just one of those, the sword, the Word of God, will just make Satan drop his head.
18. Of his own will begat he us.
Now it looks like James changed the subject, but not so. Remember God said, let us make man in our image. To whom was he speaking? God was speaking to the Elohim, Hebrew God and the angels. Angels are children of God minus the flesh. We were all in our spiritual body in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, when Lucifer rebelled. And because of sin, God says, I'm going to send each one of you, make you a flesh body. And he said, I'll do the same thing. And he did. He made Jesus is his flesh body. And I'll send you down there in that trouble. And that's why you go into that second earth age, which is full of trouble. So let's don't fuss so much about trouble. Do you know, what if God hadn't sent? Now remember, the elect are the only ones sent to be the lights. Everybody else you goofed up and failed in there is giving you a second chance. And you grumbling about this little problem? Be glad you got a second chance.
Amen. Amen.
So he says, this is why you're doing this, because of sin. I'm making you a flesh body. So I know all about it. In other words, he's saying, remember why you're here. You're not here about a husband or a wife or a job or a dog or a home or a vacation or have fun or a career. You're here because God sent you. If you're lost, you're here to get saved and then get others saved. And if you're an elect, you're here to get the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb out of this world.
Amen. Amen. With the Word of truth.
The Word of truth. Don't forget your purpose.
That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
In other words, you, my elect, I'm sending you out as lights. And when Satan hits you, if you're going to handle this just like the world, did you know that you can see faith on a person? Our beautiful little Libby here, I see faith on her. You can also see doubt. It brings everybody down. Make sure you're wearing the right clothes. Faith. Wear faith. Okay.
19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear.
What he means is, now that you understand why you're here, and you weren't here for all of that other stuff, be speedily learning God's Word. Find where you're going to find it. Book, chapter, verse, and line. With anointing, where nobody's trying to get rich off of you, where somebody feeds you that anointed called of God, and hurry and get all you can. Run your steps to that place. Don't miss it. Every time there's a chance. Now here we are in Trumpet of Truth. You can get us 24 hours a day on the internet, WMIEFM.com on demand, Trumpet of Truth. And I've got book after book after book of the Bible on there. And hopefully we'll get all of it after a while. So see, you should be running to that if you're walking through the valley of the shadow. You say, why is the Word so important? Romans says faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. This is why you read it out loud. The more words you say, it starts out like you're a robot and you just memorize your scriptures. But we're going to talk about how you digest it in just a few minutes. But you've got to say it. Sound produces movement. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. You're snared by the words of your mouth. And so you start saying that Word of God to build up your most excellent faith. Not a book about the book. Not somebody's sermon. Not chatting about your problems over the telephone. But the Word of God. You know what the Bible says? To put those scriptures on your wall. I obeyed that. It won't hurt a bit.
And slow to speak.
Slow to speak means as soon as you begin to catch on to the mystery, the first earth age, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the order of the 12 trumps, don't immediately go out and try to grab somebody and tell them this. study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to talk about what really happened in the garden of seduction, you've got to have some Hebrew words there, and you'll get mine. Go find the book of Ezekiel on the net. I taught that. When you get to Ezekiel chapter 28, I will digress and take the first six chapters of Genesis, because Ezekiel 28 goes back in the first earth age when Lucifer rebelled. And there we have all the Hebrew words you need. If you don't, you're going to meet a heretic, and they're going to knock you over with their dead wisdom. So you see, you want to be smart. You want to be wiser than serpents and harnesses, dove.
To act.
That should be slow to wrath.
Wait, for the wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of God.
In other words, don't be angry because this thing happened to you. Peter says, think it not strange that this strange thing has happened to you like some fiery thing. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, this that has happened to you is common to many men. And he said, but I will not give you more than you can bear. I will with the trouble make a way for you to bear it or escape it. That is God's promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now see, don't throw that one away and start feeling sorry for yourself. You got away. But you got to walk through this valley, saying the word, believing the word.
21, therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity.
Stop talking about the trouble. Stop talking about the pain and the poor little me and the lack and the loneliness. Talk the word of God. That was the solution. Did you know God says in Jeremiah, when I hear my word, I perform it.
And receive with meekness the engrafted word.
With humbleness. Therefore, now receive it. Now, I mentioned a while ago that you might go to church all your life, even to this place where, boy, we really get in the deep in the word. Book, chapter, verse, and line. But you could just get this in your head. Cerebral knowledge of God's word doesn't give you any victory in the battle. And it doesn't make you a very good Christian. Many Christians go to church and put the Bible away. See, you must meditate on the word. Meditate means like a cow chews his cud, to chew the word, chew the word, chew the word, say the word, pray the word, think the word, say the word, pray the word, think the word, say the word, pray the word, think the word, chew it, chew it, chew it, and then swallow it. See, some of you have gotten it in here. How sweet, how nice. And you go home and you've got it in your cupboard on little paper plates. They're like crumbs. And you've never swallowed it. But he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Jesus is the living word. The Bible is Jesus in print. Digest it. Book, chapter, verse, and line. Let it go down inside your organs. Did you know in the Bible your heart, your emotional center is your bowels? That's what the Bible says, your gut. It's not your head, it's your bowels. So it's got to go from the head. That's where you have to first see it. But you got to swallow it and then let it go in. When you graft one plant into another, the weaker becomes just as strong as the strongest. They become one. And when the living word comes in you, the word is working unceasingly in you. Right now, your heart is working, your blood is working, your kidneys are working, and you're sitting there looking at me and listening to me. But with the word of God in you, engrafted in you, the word is circulating and circulating and going back to all the little things that need straightened out in you and direction there. And it never stops. The word is working a work in you. And it's working all the time you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Boy, do you have strength.
Amen. Which is able to save your soul.
He'll save your soul. Your soul is yourself. The word of God.
Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only.
See, a lot of times people will say, I want you to pray for somebody. So I'll say, is the person saved? Oh, they go to church. They hear the word of God. But do they do it? See, you can come here for 20 years and hear the word of God, but do you ever do it? Do you live by this? I do. That's what you're supposed to do. This is real life God food that you're getting here. And see, you don't just say, oh, well, that was really good. I went to church and now I've got this problem with the job. Now I've got this problem with my body. Now I've got this problem with money. No, the word of God, you bring it into the job, you bring it into the relationship, and you definitely bring it into your body. I do that or I'd be dead. And see, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do the word. And it's going to talk about that. Anybody can say, oh, I'm a good Christian. I go to church. No, you're not unless you do the word. Sorry.
Deceiving your own self. 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
He says, if you are just a hearing the word, even though you're very faithful, but you never do it, He says, here's what you're like. You stand in front of a mirror, and you see a reflection. But you know, you reach out your hand and touch. That's not you, is it? Because it's just, it's glass. It's not you. Okay, but it looks like you. And then you walk away from the mirror, and you peep around the corner, and your reflection's not there anymore. That's dead works. We're not saved by works, but works become very important after salvation. Otherwise, it would have taken you home the moment you prayed the prayer of salvation. Revelation 19 says that the righteous acts of saints, those words, getting the word of God out, winning souls to people, that word weaves what you're going to wear for all eternity. And Revelation 14 tells you that the one thing you can send on ahead is your works. They're deposited in heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you know the beautiful thing is, when you have this truth, even in the valley of the shadow, there's some kind of a peace about you because the Lord's right there in the fiery dungeon with you, and you want to share it with others. How could you be selfish and not want everybody to have this beautiful Jesus living word?
25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in...
Okay, in other words, there is such a blessing. If even in the trouble, you are free, the truth sets you free. See, here you are, you're walking along in this trouble, and it's really bad, and so, you know, whatever your trouble is there. But you are saying the word of God, believing the word of God, and sharing it with everybody, and doing the word of God. And it says you're free in the trouble. Do you know you can be in that trouble and still have your spirit free? I have experienced this. You can too. You're not supposed to. Satan wants you to roll over and put the chains on yourself and stoically bear it. But nobody would want your Christianity because you don't do it joyously. You don't really believe. But he wants you to believe. Knowing these, none of these things move me. This slight affliction. Keep your purpose there. That's why he said, made an image and likeness. God, remember why you're here. This is just a test. He's just testing you.
26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue.
In other words, you say, I'm a Christian, and so I've gone to the Bible and found what it says about body, about money, about relationships, about all of my trouble. But you don't stop your tongue from talking the trouble. Your tongue keeps on saying, poor little me, I'm so tired, I'm so poor, I'm so sick. I have a prayer line, so we're familiar with that. I want to know, want you to know, I have the kindest heart in the world, and I will cry with you and fall down the floor and sob with you in your troubles. Anybody who knows me knows that. But we do have to get up and fight. See, we're in a battle. We got mystery Babylon here, the ways of the world, which is sin and death and greed, and we got the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God and mystery Babylon don't mix. If we're going to say the word of God, it's not going to fit into the mystery Babylon. Now, we do have to give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, because we want to obey the laws of the land. The only thing then is if it would jeopardize your relationship with Lord God Almighty.
But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
It's in vain for you to say you have faith. What's the point in praying if you're not going to believe? And you know, if you believe that God's putting that awful cancer on you, what was the point of dear Jesus taking 39 stripes of all of those sickness and diseases on him? I mean, that would be kind of silly, would it not? And you'd say, well, I'm going to take this on myself, but I might get it back to you. No, God's not unstable.
Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Now this is still the theme. You are in your trouble. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Just a shadow, not death, shadow. You're walking through. You're walking through with the word of God, and you're trusting, and you're not listening to Mr. Babylon. You're listening to the voice of God, and you're hearing the word. What you do then in that time, if you're not careful, Satan will want you to focus all on your problem. And Satan wants you to stop serving God, and you would have a great excuse because you're sick or you don't have the money or the relationship broke up. The best way to do when your world falls apart is to keep on trucking and keep on walking for God. What does it mean, the fatherless and the widow? Widow means divorce. All of the scattered tribes to whom he's writing this in the United States of America don't know that our father is Abraham. Most Christians call themselves Gentiles. And so we need to tell them this story. The word widow in the Hebrew and Greek means divorce. Mystery Babylon, Revelation 18, sits above the scarlet-colored beast and says, I sit a queen, I am no widow. Here's what you do while you're walking in that trouble, as you study the word, as you only know the word, as you only hear the word, you win souls to Jesus and make God their father because you bring them into the kingdom. These people who are divorced from God, Jeremiah 3:8, God has divorced Israel. You get them saved, you witness to them and bring them into Jesus so they're no longer divorced, so that when Jesus comes, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. So here's the deal. This is just a test. Hold your head up high. When you need to cry, cry. I will cry with you. But do not quit and do not stop. And don't let your tongue turn this whole ship the wrong way. Believe my prophet, says God. Believe my word. He sent his word and healed you. His word is truth. My God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Hallelujah. 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 We'll begin right there with James 2 next week. God bless you. I hope you. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I'd like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. Boy, is that good food. My twin friend, a man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was definitely meat, as they would call the word, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, very much.
It was
very
meat.
Much so. Our first question tonight. What is spiritual cannibalism?
Spiritual cannibalism, the word's not actually in the Bible, but it's a phrase in Deuteronomy 26, 27, 28. It says at the end times that we will take our children to the enemy and they will eat their flesh. It doesn't mean literal cannibalism. It means that when you take your child to some place where they are learning lies, be it school, be it church, you are turning them over to the enemy, and they're brainwashing you. Look at our schools today. Everybody's brainwashed. That's why parents, it's an inside job. You better do it at home. Yeah, but you have to take them there. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. But that's the Babylonian thing. So it's the same thing with wrong teaching of the Bible. If you lead somebody to wrong teaching, it's spiritual cannibalism. The enemy will eat your lunch.
And that's such an interesting question at this time too, because often as we see a spiritual manifestation, we also see it in the physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that exposed now, like even Podesta has these cannibal pictures on his walls, and there's talk about Clintons and all these other things. Mm-hmm. You know, in Hollywood we're seeing them make cakes of people and they eat it as if to represent cannibalism. So it's very interesting.
That's right. In other words, some cannibalism is going on in the swamp, that's for sure, too. The Hollywood swamp and the government swamp. But and then Satan always has to bring it down to the nasty now and then. That's true.
Okay, our next question. What are the wings of Malachi 4?
Son of righteous, arise with healing in your wings. The wings in the Hebrew means laser beams. It means that Jesus is the light of the world. God is the consuming fire. And when you pray the prayer of faith and you're anointed, the laser beams of Jesus' healing virtue goes in to the body for which you're praying. Ha! And makes the crooked way straight. And heals in Jesus' mighty name. Whew, I think I just did the prayer.
Amen. Father of lights.
Ah, boy, I agree in Jesus' name.
I agree, Jesus.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Our Lord does nothing and reveals nothing without purpose. He is a God who reveals mysteries throughout the ages, preparing his people in his timing, movement, position, and order. He is a God who is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. It is my desire that you grow in grace and in the kingdom of me. He is revealing his heart to us to prepare us for what is to come. He wants us spotless and pure as his true bride.
That is so beautiful, Scott Merson. Thank you very much. I'm glad we've got the Scott stuff in there. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. I think I just did. That's the way Holy Spirit does those. See, you always walk freely with Holy Spirit. Turn on the dime when he does, and he'll be able to use you more. But first of all, let me pray for you if you're not saved. Please pray this with me. Anyone out there in cyberspace, radio land, internet, if you're not saved, let's make that secure right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Let me be holy.
Let me be holy.
As thou art holy.
As thou art holy.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls.
To win many souls.
To Jesus.
To Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you pray that, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, and I invite you to call and leave that message. Now, I'll try again for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings, that the laser beams go from the top of the head, the soles of the feet, starting in the skull of each one listening to me now, going into the brain and the eyes and the ears, Father God, and the, Father God, the backbone, spine, every one of those vertebrae, all the flesh and muscles of the back, entire back, the lower back, left side, right side, or everything in divine order, all of the diseases and sicknesses and pains, nerves that are pinched, unpinched in Jesus' name, the hips, the legs, that the pain stop now in Jesus' name. Jesus bore your pains. Arise, take up your bed, and walk with Jesus' stripes you're healed. Oh, Spirit of God, continue the rest of this day and through the night, permeating and operating and rejuvenating and restoring and healing. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. God bless you. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus always tells us in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Everything that you hear of the Word of God, you're to do. And it's very selfish to keep it. Go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, with my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, we bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, you be in health, you prosper, and your soul prosper, in Jesus' name. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
91.5 WMIE. I'm Israel Arrows. Happy Saturday to you. Have a question for you. Do you have anything going on today, and do you love movies? Or do you have an interest in developing your gift for the film industry? Maybe you don't know or aren't certain whether you have a true gift in writing a script or producing a film, or whether you feel that's even possible. You want to make your way to the film festival. There are people on site who can encourage you with your gift and your idea, and who can give you advice and guidance as to how to take it from conception to production. They've also got Christian movies running back-to-back, simultaneously in different rooms, short films, feature films, documentaries. It's just a great atmosphere where you will find other Christians excited about the industry, supporting each other, and inspiration as well. So I encourage you to come out. If you need information, just go on internationalcff.org. You'll also find out that there is an award ceremony tonight preceded by a red carpet event, and you can attend that. be very cool. You just have to go online to make sure that you have tickets. But Kirk Cameron will be honored for a Lifetime Achievement Award. Beautiful night all here at the International Orlando Wyndham Resort. Go online, internationalcff.org, or just Google International Christian Film Festival. You'll find all the information you need. Hope to see you out here. Have a great weekend from 91.5 WMIE.
This is the star. This is your heart. This is the day you were born. This is the sun. These are your lungs. This is the day you were born. Thank you.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought it'd be. I was lost when you found me here, and I was broken beyond repair. And then you came along and you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. First time in my life.
Make a promise, tell me now. Reassure my heart somehow that the love that I feel is so much more real.
I've a feeling in my soul, and I pray that I'm not wrong. That the life I have now, it is only the beginning. It feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time.
Soul. You're the rain that makes me whole. You are God. purpose is your will. I know that you provide, so I'll be still. That's why I'm singing.
Calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound on WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Hello, my friend. I remember when you were so alive with your wide eyes to the light that you had and your heart was stolen. Now you say that it ain't worth staying. You want to run. I'm talking to me, yeah. So let the lights go down. Don't let the fire burn out. Somewhere somebody needs a reason to believe. Put up your eyes up now. Don't be afraid to stand out. That's how the lost get found.
chance to change it.
Church, can you clap your hands with us? Come on. We've come to lift up the name of Jesus.